Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour Message. This morning's message, folks, I'm going to be doing it. It's going to come out of King James, as always. We are never free, and we truly aren't, folks, because we'll serve one master or another. And that's what the message will be about. It's about freedom, but a different type of freedom, freedom that most people never talk about, okay? It's something that I want to get to you. We're going to be starting out in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We're going to go over to Proverbs 7, 2, Galatians 5, 16, 1 Peter 2, 16, John 8, 3, 31 to 36, and Joshua 24, 14 through 18. Folks, you know I always bring up as many scriptures as possible to hopefully gain some kind of ability for understanding for everyone, including myself. I do that because I think it's important that we cross-reference one verse or chapter from another so that we get a better, well-rounded knowledge of what God means by his offering of his word. But as always, before I do, I have a song for you, and then I'm going to do some prayer requests. And this song's only about a minute and 57 seconds long. It's I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand. And it's a live version. It's done by the Gaithers. So I hope you enjoy it, and I'll be right back. Amen. You know, folks, we can't walk without the Lord, and that's what that song's about. You know, if you don't trust the Lord for everything in your life, and I mean it, the devil will have a field day and fun with you. He'll make you feel like you're useless. He'll make you feel like you're worthless. He'll toss you aside like you don't mean anything to him. He'll pull you back in. He'll suck you up. He'll make you think that he loves you and that the world is everything. And the money and the possessions and all the things that you think are important, he'll make you think all that is yours and there are no consequences. But I'm going to tell you, folks, that's what this mess is about this morning. The mess is about freedom. Freedom from having to deal with the world, our temptations, all of our unrighteousness, having no hold to you. You see, by casting the devil aside. The Bible says avoid all appearances of evil. We can't do that if we're serving that master of this world. We can only do that by living for Christ and serving him and him only. Amen? Now, folks, my prayer requests are some. I didn't get as many this week. I'm not sure if it's because people are busy getting ready for school and things like that, or the devil's just having a field day with us all. And I want you to understand something, folks. Even if you don't send me prayers, there are prayers to be had out there. There's things out there people don't see. I see it every day. I talk to people all the time. My friend Joseph Gray. Now, here's a man of God that he's in his 70s, right? I don't know where his life's going to end or what day it's going to end. He knows that there's only a matter of time left for him. I don't think it's more than a couple of months unless God shows a miracle and heals him. Because Joseph's been through some bad stuff. I mean, the VA hasn't taken care of him well. He's got a bad hip. He's had cancer. He's got pain. Nobody wants to take care of him properly, and certainly not our Veterans Association, because if they did, he wouldn't be going through this. They've caused Joseph more problems than you can imagine. But Joseph's always on my heart. Now, I'll tell you, he's one we should be praying for because he's sick and he's ill. This past week, August 20th, Brother Black, Robert Black, had his eye contact cataract surgery. So I'm hoping he's doing well. I haven't actually had a chance to talk to Brother Black. He's another preacher of the word. And prayers, I asked back when for my sister for the same thing. My sister had her cataract surgery done around the same time. So I did talk to my sister, and I spoke to her last night, and she told me her vision's really doing well. She's right now just using these dime store glasses, the ones from the dollar store, and they're 1.25, which is pretty low on the scale of reading glasses, and that's the only time she's using her glasses right now. Last I saw my sister, which was last year, I believe it was, she had glasses on, but she has to wear them all the time. So obviously cataract surgery's helped her a lot, so continue to pray for her. My granddaughter, my little granddaughter Bella, strep throat, and she has this hand-foot-to-mouth disease, they call it, something to that effect. I'm not really up on what that's all about, but I do know that it takes time, according to my daughter. We were talking, and that's one of them things that has to pass. It's a virus of some sort. They can only do so much, and my daughter and her husband are suffering. They don't have the ability to make ends meet as it is because my son-in-law hasn't been able to find gainful work. He doesn't have a job right now, and they're having financial problems in Connecticut, and I ask you to just pray for them because their landlord is not working with them well. And again, it's not just the landlord's fault. I don't want to go there. I'm not trying to make it his fault because we all know that you have a responsibility to take care of your business, and that includes taking care of your household. Now, my daughter and my son-in-law are struggling, and the devil's having a field day with her. He's got them all confused at who's in charge. Again, you get away from who you're serving as a master, and you start to learn that there is a freedom in Christ. When you just concentrate and focus and cast all doubt and fears aside and only trust in the Lord, those things will start to show their way. And I don't care what it is, but I want you to pray for my daughter, my son-in-law, and the whole family. They have three little girls down there. That God bless them. I love them to death. And I would do anything to help them, and they know that. Okay? But right now we can pray for them. Deborah Paul asked for prayer for a family member of hers that's suffering with alcohol abuse. You see, folks, what you don't see is this alcohol stuff that everybody thinks a good time on the weekend, have a drink on Friday, go to social hour, go out with the girls, go out with the guys, whatever you want to call it. That stuff turns into, because the devil's a slithering snake and he takes his time getting in there, once he's in there, he's going to destroy you. That's his whole goal. And that's what this is about. Now, pray for Debbie Paul and her family. Serena Clemens asked for an unspoken request a little while back, probably a week or so ago, but Serena is a good Christian girl and has a lot of things in her life that goes on too, just like all of us. I'm going to ask you for another prayer, and it's for myself. Today I'm going to go out and visit with some biker friends. As you know, most of you that know me know I love motorcycles and I ride, and I'm going to visit a Christian organization called Soldiers for Christ. Or for Jesus, rather, Soldiers for Jesus. And these guys out there are going to be doing a message this afternoon, and I would have loved to have been there at 10, but I can't because I'm here to do this message. As soon as I'm done here, I'm going to pack myself up and head over. So please pray for me for the safety of that. Pray for my ministries. I do work within our community. I try to help out those that I can when I can. I work with the food pantry called Crosswalk down in Naples, Maine. And if you could please pray for them as they're trying to do more for the community and get a building together of their own so that they can no longer have to be in the way down at the town hall, but have a building where they can do community services. It'll be a community building. Father, we ask you for all of these prayers, and we ask that you continue to watch over us and bless us. And I forgot one more. This is for my children as a whole. I have three children. I have six grandchildren. I please just ask that you would pray for them and pray about that for me, that they move in the right direction and continue to seek out the Lord. My youngest daughter going through some struggles too, my little girl Madison. I know that it's difficult, folks, but sometimes we have, God does things to us or allows things to happen in our lives for one purpose only. And you know what that is. So that we'll repent of our sins and draw closer to Him and forget this rotten, filthy world. Thank you, Father, for allowing us this opportunity to share the gospel. Thank you for letting us ask for prayer requests. And Jesus, we thank you especially for taking them to the Father for us. Bless us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Folks, this message this morning, We Are Never Free, it's about our freedoms. We can be free from our sins. We can be free from our guilt. We can be free from the world. And we can certainly be free from the grip of Satan if we would just stop, read our Bible, and let God work in our life. One thing I learned years ago, folks, is that if I'm holding the reins of my life and trying to control my situation, then I'm not letting God do it. And that's like saying I don't have faith in God. Amen? Because here's the truth, folks. This is the God's honest truth. I don't know why, but for some reason, you think of a person sitting on a horse or in a stagecoach, and he's holding the reins to those horses. If he's holding them, he's in control of the horses, correct? Now think of those horses as out of control if you didn't have a hold of them. They just run where they need to run. Now horses are pretty smart. They're not going to jump off a cliff. But you could end up that stagecoach going around the corner too fast and end up over the cliff. Now Jesus won't do that with you, in it. You let Jesus hold that the reins to that stagecoach, and he's going to guide you along the path. You're not going to hit a bump in the road without that bump having meaning. Sometimes we have to realize, folks, that God wants us to do what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. The Bible says, thy will be done, not our will be done. It doesn't say, hey, you get to have all the will you want. The Bible says that it's up to us to make honest choices to do right, to serve God, and not ourselves. It's easy to go in the world to do what the world wants. I mean, I could have stayed the way I was 30-some-odd years ago. I sure wouldn't be where I am today. And, you know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back because it had nothing to do with me. When I tell you that, folks, I am just not kidding you. I wanted to be out in the world doing the things I want to do. And God said, I can't let you do that no longer. He woke me up one day some 26 years ago, 27 years ago or so, and told me that I needed to stop living the way I was. And I was already on the path of righteousness before that. More than half my life ago, I accepted Jesus Christ. And in that half time from then till now, the Lord has never let go of me, and he doesn't let go of any of us, folks. But we have to just stop looking towards the things that only give temporary satisfaction. We have to look for the longevity of our life in Christ. If I were to die today, I know I'm going to heaven. That's what I mean by that. Now, I'm going to go through these verses quick with you because I don't want to spend a lot of time on something that's not part of the message. If we do not obey the Lord nor keep his commandments, we are rebellious, making ourselves slaves to the sins of the world, and therefore bound to the sins of the world of Satan. We are only free from the bondage of sin if we believe and obey Jesus Christ's commandments. Many believe, because they are believers in Christ, that the demons controlled by Satan will not attempt to get them to sin or tempt with sin. They think that God's going to protect them and there's never going to be any problem. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says, as a Christian, you're going to suffer even more, because this world hates you because it hated him first. They believe God wouldn't let it happen. That's not true. God does allow things to happen in our life, but we have free will to say no to those things. That means we are free to choose from whom we will serve. You see, when those temptations come in and the frustrations and the anxieties and all of those things that cause us depression, anger, and violence, and then the need for want instead of what God wants, we are making a choice to serve those things versus God. You get that? You make a choice. You want to serve the world and all that it offers, or you want to serve God and all that he offers. God serves nothing to us except for peace, love, joy, and happiness. Satan will serve you some happiness temporarily. And when you don't do what he wants, then he starts to make your life a mess. See, that's why when Christians start to get around doing what God asks them to do, then what ends up happening is Satan says, I can't let go of you, and he starts making your life a mess, making you think you have to doubt God. Now look at Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I said this many a times, folks, and I wasn't kidding. In reality, we are free to serve ourselves or serve God. That's our free will right there. That's our free will in a nutshell. You can either do as you want, and you can serve Satan, and that's the master you choose to serve when you go ahead and do your own thing, or you can choose to serve Christ, and you can live for Christ, and he will bless you, or you can live for Satan, and he's going to end up, God will curse you, and Satan won't give you anything but temporal happiness. With Christ, we receive blessings. With Satan, we receive rightful punishment for what we choose. You see, if you serve yourself and you serve what Satan wants, you deserve the punishment you get. You deserve whatever comes from that. Don't try to make it God's fault, because you decided to go against God and rebel. Have you ever heard the phrase that the child is the apple of my eye? That child's the apple of my eye. I say that with my grandsons. I love my grandchildren, be it my grandsons or my granddaughters. I love them all. Trust me. One's not better than the other. One is not better than the other. I just happen to be able to spend more time with my grandsons because they live right here in the state with me versus my granddaughters who are 4.5 hours away. But I love them all the same. But they're the apple of my eye. What that means is this. I'm so happy with them and so proud of them because they do right, because they're children, and they are an enormous, enormous part of my love in my life. That's what we are to God. You see, God our Father thinks of us as the most wonderful, beautiful thing that ever happened. And he loves us so much, he just asks us to do one thing, and that's obey him and his commandments. Look at Proverbs 7:2. It says this. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of the eye. You see, he says, keep my commandments and my law as the apple of thine eye. He wants us to look to his law and his commandments just as he looks to us as his children and loves us. We should love his commandments and his laws just as much. We should obey them just as much. We should live in them and feel that that's the only thing worth living for, just like I sometimes feel. All that I have worth living for is my children, my grandchildren, and my house, my family, my love, my wife, my children, my cats. Okay? Those things give me joy and happiness. But I want you to understand something. God's love is much greater than that. His commandments, if you keep my commandments, he says, and live. That's freedom. Keep my commandments and live. How can you live if you're always miserable? That's not living. You know it's not. The truth will set you free. We have all heard that. And you know something, folks? That's scriptural. That's not something somebody made up. Some other verses to look concerning the freedom we as Christians can enjoy. Galatians 5:1 says this. Stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay? 1 Peter 2:16, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as a bond slaves of God. That means use your freedom to be enslaved to God and his righteousness. Live for God and be free from the world of sin. You don't have to sin, folks. You make a choice to sin. This verse seems to be a little contradictory in its commands. On the one hand, we are told to live freely. The verse ends by saying that we should be slaves to God. How can we both be free, or how can we be free and in slavery? As it's stated in other parts of the Bible, mankind is always serving something. Sometimes it's greed concerning money. Other times it's lust of the flesh. but we're always allowing something to have mastery over us. When we allow God to be our master, we can experience the ultimate freedom. He's the only one capable of being able to being a holy God, being a holy true master, in the context of this verse. Submitting before God always means that we must obey the laws of man so long as they do not go against God. We have authority that has been placed over us by the kingdoms of this world, and we must respect that God has put those there, those kingdoms. On top of this, we need to respect all whom we come in contact with and proudly exemplify the characteristics of Christ. That means just because we don't like somebody doesn't mean we go around being mean to them. We can be cordial. We can be respectful of them as a person. Just like the Bible says, we are to hate the sin, not the sinner. John 8:31 says this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Verse 32 says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Remember I said that before. There's that phrase. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How can you know the truth if you don't know the scriptures? How can you know true law and what's right and what's wrong if you don't know what God has told you, the great creator, what's right and what's wrong? Verse 33, "They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily," or listen, "I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Didn't I say that? And look at here. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." That means sin does not abide, and a servant doesn't always stay, but Christ always stays. "If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Jesus makes you free when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't accept him, you're not going to ever be free from those sins. We see in these verses that Jesus, saying you are a servant of sin, therefore in bondage, to it if you do not keep his commandments. We are to avoid sin. When we even think sinfully, we are sinning. To escape those sinful habits that enslave us, we must think and react to the sin by asking the Lord to remove it and forgive us for thinking about it. Many do not even recognize their sin. They have lived it, and they allowed it for so long. Many say, "I'm not a sinner," but all are sinners. Think about it. If we're all sinners, that doesn't mean that we should continue in our sin. That means we should confess our sins. That means that we should be asking big or small of our sin, whatever they are, that God would take them away from us. That in and of itself, as I said, is a bondage. You have to think of it this way, folks. If you're sinning, no matter what it is, you're bonded to it. You are bound to that sin until you give it to the Lord and leave it with him. When you take it back, you decide you're going to be in control again. Give it to the Lord and leave it there. Don't put it to him and then go doubting whether he's going to take care of it. You either choose the Lord or you choose Satan, your sin life or your righteous life. As I was saying, we are never truly free. We serve one master or another. For me personally, I'd rather serve Christ and confess my sin. In Joshua 24:14-18, it mentions how the people should decide whom to serve, the gods of their father or the Lord. Alive, we have to look at it this way. Here's the thing, folks. If we're serving the Lord, we're not serving sin, right? I don't know why that's put in here, but I'm going to take this out because it's confusing me. And the devil loves to confuse us, folks. In verse 14 of Joshua, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." That means be honest with yourself. Serve him. Don't lie to him. Don't act like you're something you're not. Be sincere. Tell the Lord. Tell God, "Look, I need you to take away these sins. I want to do right. I don't want to cuss. I don't want to lust after the flesh. I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to commit any of those crimes of corruption or adultery or anything like that. I want to do what's right by you. I want to serve you and be the man or woman of God that you asked me to do and be." Put away the gods which your fathers served, it says here in verse 14. On the other side of the flood, that was back in the days where on the other side of the flood they served who? They served Pharaoh. They didn't serve God. And in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Stop serving false gods. Stop serving your sin. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. This is where I always have personal reflection with this, whether the gods which you, your father served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? I want you to serve the Lord. I don't want you to serve some other gods, folks. Start changing what you do and start looking to God. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is, that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Verse 18, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we serve the Lord, for he is our God. Now think about this for 1 second, folks. Back in the beginning of time in Genesis, man was free to roam until they ate that apple, and they committed a sin against God, and they chose at that time who they were going to serve. The minute they decided to bite the apple, they chose, wait a minute, I like sin. They stopped serving God. They stopped believing in God. And God doesn't owe you anything when you turn your back on him. However, let's focus on verse 15 for a second. You see the statement made as, for me and my house? That must be us, anyone claiming to be Christian. We are to decide to be in bondage to the Lord, no one else. I would rather be a slave to Christ than even serve Satan for one moment in my life. Even though we make these mistakes and we do serve our sins, we have to be faithful and just to ask and beg God to forgive us. And he is just and merciful to do so. All we have to do is repent and ask for that forgiveness. But you can't keep doing it and expect them to keep forgiving. Thank you for letting me share the gospel with you, folks. I want you to understand something. You either choose Christ or you choose Satan. You can't have two of them, folks. Here's a song for you. I'm going to play this one for you because I think you're going to want to hear this, folks. Let me go back to my notes because if I don't, we're going to mess up. And let's see. I'll Fly Away. Okay? And someday we're going to all fly away. I want to fly away to Christ. I don't want to go to hell. You want to fly away in the flames? Because you don't really despair. You don't get to enjoy life down there, folks. I'm going to tell you that right now. You don't get to enjoy your life in hell. I'll try to get back here, folks, because I'm limited time. You can always come find me on William Preacher Bill Barnes over on Facebook, and I'll answer any questions for you there. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a good day. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Have a great day.